Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 12th of October, recording at 4:55 p.m. That's British Summer Time. Okay, first the highlights. Hong Kong down 2.17% here today. Evidently, there's some jiggery-pokery going on in the Hong Kong warrant market. Governance is everything, including proper regulation of exchanges so that public confidence is maintained. Now, the really important story here, though, is this loss of momentum that we're seeing in just about every stock market, and of course, the recent violations of support from the August lows on Wall Street. More about that in a moment. In terms of government bonds, soft in here today, despite stock markets being down. I don't like that bond market. U.S. dollar now. The dollar index is encountering further resistance near this 90 level. That is an important lateral and psychological barrier overall. But despite that, precious metals retraced their earlier gains in here today. We've seen a bit of churning activity, really, in the markets, and they're, well, a couple down a little bit and a couple up a little bit as I speak, but still within extremely bullish overall patterns for the precious metals. And those are the main high. Oh, no, very important one here. Crude oil is showing a backwardation over the first and second contract months. Now that is a change, and that is potentially bullish. It would be more than potentially bullish if it held for more than a few days. Okay, now global stock markets. Remember, I've mentioned this Wall Street leash effect, and for the very new subscribers, and people are coming in all the time, on this, I'll just explain very, very briefly. All markets are influenced by the shadow of Wall Street. That influence is benevolent when Wall Street is firm to rising. And just as in a dog walker with one of those retractable leashes, it enables the leash to be let out, and the more interesting markets, and in the last few years, the more interesting markets have been dominated by emerging markets, particularly the resources plays and the whole natural resources sector. So Wall Street, again, steady to rising, and other markets can run riot on the upside, as we've seen. Conversely, and we haven't seen much of this over the last few years, when Wall Street is weak, then the leash is retracted and other market rallies stall. And if we get a downdraft in Wall Street that really frightens people, then we would see some of those other markets come down with a thump. And why? Well, not least because investors from, well, not least because European markets will track Wall Street very closely with a slightly higher beta, and also because the U.S. and, well, I should say the North American and the European investors are major, major players in all the other markets that are, or certainly in the majority of the other markets. So if they're losing money at home, people tend to become more cautious, start to pull money in from abroad. And the spillover of sentiment is considerable. So this is the concern, and Wall Street having taken out those August lows, first the S&P did it of the three that I watch most closely. There are plenty more in the chart library, as you know, but let me concentrate on the S&P and the Dow. They did it first, and then the NASDAQ followed, and none of them have been able to push back up above those August lows to signal downside failures. And the type of action that we've been seeing over the last couple of days, last night, Wall Street was initially quite up a bit, and then at one stage the Dow was up 75, but then gave up most of the gain, and Closed some of the indices closed on the downside today. We saw gains to begin with, and I think the Dow's gone from about 50 up to 50 down as I speak. So I don't like this technical action in the short term. Certainly a correction is underway. There is no sign that it is over. That is a very powerful headwind, not to and additionally leash effect, or not to say leash effect for the other stock markets around the globe. So I think that if you're nervous about anything, or if you have any overextended positions, this is not a bad time to take a more cautious stance and pull in some of those positions, book some of those positions, and not to put new money into stock markets at this stage. I'm toying with the idea of perhaps issuing some. Or opening rather some hedge short positions overall, having pretty well decided that I would ride out things that I really, really like, such as India. And if it comes down 20 or 30%, and that's not a forecast, it'll happen at some time, obviously. If a reaction of that magnitude would prompt me to go in and buy more. But at the bottom line here, one wants to, or I'm taking a very cautious view on these stock markets right now. The balance of evidence shows technical deterioration and very, very much led by Wall Street. Okay, in government bonds, I don't like this sector. You know that. I think the issuance of all these 50-year long-dated government bonds is a very bearish signal. Markets had been discounting a disinflationary, deflationary environment overall. I've been saying for over 3 years that it was pump, 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 and that the seeds of a new inflationary cycle had been sown. And lo and behold, there's Mark Farber on CNBC in London this morning and talking about hyperinflation at some point. I'm not going to go for that far, but I certainly do think that inflation, we as well, I've already said it, and I've been saying it consistently and persistently, that we are in the very, very early stages of a new inflationary cycle. That won't mean that inflationary prices rocket up. That won't mean that there won't still be some deflationary pockets, mainly in manufacturing. But I do expect to see the rate of inflation in many countries to move up, not exponentially, not linearly, but in rolling waves. And interest rates will reflect that. And I've said it before, but we're currently in a cycle of mostly tightening interest rates at this stage, with the US being the most aggressive tightener right now. And when economic growth slows, then we'll get rates being cut again, but they won't go back down to that same 1% level that we saw before in the US. They'll bottom out at a higher level. And when the Fed starts to move them up again, they'll go above whatever levels, and more likely than not, than we are seeing in this current cycle that has yet to be completed. And I would expect the same thing to be showing in terms of US long-dated government bond yields, which I really only want to play on the short side, and the ideal time to short government bonds is after they've seen a bit of a technical rally. Right now, government bonds remain in that top extension phase overall, which is predictably lengthy, but we are in the early years of a secular bear market. In long-dated government bonds. Now, the dollar, this really is interesting. Here, seeing it rally back up on the dollar index to that 90 level, which I mentioned before and many times in the past, is both psychological and lateral resistance in here. The bull story, well, there are two bull stories, you could say, for the US dollar. Well, three, in the fact that it has a little bit of short-term momentum behind it, although that may well stall given the resistance we've reached once again. But currency players, more than almost any other market type of market participants, like to play momentum. And the bull stories, though, are the rising interest rates and the fact that U.S. growth has generally been stronger than the growth in some of the other major reserve currency countries. Now, those factors are unlikely to change quickly. In other words, the momentum can change quickly, but the U.S. is going to continue to raise interest rates, and growth will, there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors in all that, but at this stage, I'm not one of the alarmists in terms of U.S. GDP growth. Okay, my best guess on this is the dollar will fail here and start to head a little bit lower. And if that does happen, that could easily give precious metals another fillip on the upside. Equally, if the dollar holds up at this level, I would not be surprised if precious metals didn't move reasonably soon of their own accord. And they still remain very much in form. They're not racing away on the upside. We're getting some strong action and then backing and filling and consolidation, but with limited downside risk and an overall upward bias. And I would expect to see a continuation of that in the weeks ahead. I don't see any reason why we should get a significant shakeout in the precious metal sector. I think there's plenty of demand below the market. Now, moving on to energy. And this is really intriguing, seeing that backwardation appear in oil once again. And I have been saying, I'm going to take a little sip of water. I have been saying for some time that oil would struggle to maintain gains. Those new highs that we were seeing, the first one it hit 60, and then when it hit 70, it did struggle, came back, and ranged for a while before moving up. And one of the reasons was because of the contango. There wasn't a shortage of nearby refined material. This backwardation, and it's only been for a day or two, may now signal that a tightness is developing in the marketplace. Excuse me just a second. Sorry, tickly throat here today. So if that backwardation in crude persists, and you can follow that chart every single day in the chart library, that would be bullish for crude oil. That would create another headwind for global stock markets, as if they didn't have enough to be concerned with right now. So in terms of energy being a very, very important sector, the most important sector of the supply and elasticity trades. That remains very much the case today, and will remain so, I think, for a very, very long time. What else to mention here? Owens had a number of articles, or an article and a review of various different grains. Some of those are losing downside momentum and beginning to indicate upside potential here once again. That's really quite interesting because they certainly have lagged in here recently. And industrial metals still firm overall, a little bit of profit taking here today. My own positions, I'm holding on to my emerging market positions, my Asian investment positions, and my self-administered pension funds and ISAs. Here I'm unlikely to disturb those. From a trading perspective, I'm considering whether I should have some stock market futures short positions just to hedge those core long positions that I hold. From a speculative standpoint, I am really very aggressively long in precious metals, and in descending order of size of position, that's silver, gold, and platinum. And that's it, folks, so just all the best.